The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all those in attendance today. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. Is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? On Zoom, you can raise your hand and someone will chat with you. Is anyone visiting from out of town or new to the meeting? At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distraction and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. We of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. To show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. For them, we hope these pages will prove so convincing that no further authentication will be necessary. We think this account of our experiences will help everyone to better understand the alcoholic. Many do not comprehend that the alcoholic is a very sick person. And besides, we are sure that our way of living has its advantages for all. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking A, simple actions. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. This evening, we are discussing step three. Please welcome our panel this evening, Nick and Lindsay. I will read the first paragraph on page 60, and then the panel will share for a few minutes on each on the reading. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if he were sought. I'll go ahead and turn it over to Nick.
Thank you. I'm an alcoholic. My name's Nick. Hey, and thank you. Thank Amy and Simple Actions for the invitation. I'm really grateful to be here tonight, and my hope is to learn you guys a little bit better, learn myself a little bit better, and help somebody out there. I got a sobriety day, April 21st, 2023. My home group is the Cornerstone Group. We meet right over in that direction. Saturday night's big book study. We're writing more about alcoholism, so we'd love to have you. I've been trying to solve this alcohol thing all my life. I loved the feeling produced by alcohol. I was instantly in love and instantly in trouble with it. And I already started getting consequences, and I already started to control it and already tried to stop and start and stop and start. I knew there was a problem. I knew there was an issue early on. And By the time I'm 23, I've already been in the hospital. I've already wrecked cars. I've already been in front of courts, judges drunk. I've gone to job fairs drunk. Alcohol has taken on a different form in my life at this point. I'm drinking. I initially started to drink because I desperately wanted to connect with the world. It was my way into the world. And I'm drinking to disconnect at the end. And that's when I really think it took a nasty turn, and there was no way out. And I woke up one morning at 23 years old and shaken, thought I was going to die. I had a heart problem at this point, and I called 911 myself, and I quit cold turkey at 23 years old without Alcoholics Anonymous. I stayed sober or stayed dry for roughly 10 years on willpower and fear and my guard up and avoiding life. And avoiding risks, I wasn't living. I was dying, but I was living life not to drink, and I thought I had to do that. I knew nothing about what I was up against. I knew I was an alcoholic, and I knew to drink was to die. And I tried as hard as I could to make myself happy, to bring something into my life to to fill that whole alcohol did. And I kind of ran out of gas at 10 years, and what alcohol did to me, I completely forgot about it. And for me, I realized something. No matter what alcohol has done, on my own power, I'm gonna give it another run. And that's what I did. And I drank for a year and a half, and it was just as bad as it ever was. Again, I really wanted to make alcohol work in my life. I realized how, being dry was just horrible, like just horrible. And my great obsession was to make alcohol work in my life. And so I come to AA, convinced two things. I can't safely touch it, and my way of not drinking is not going to work. I intuitively knew that I didn't have what it takes to do this thing on my own. And thank God you guys tell me, Nick, we're just like you, bro. We don't got this either. And come on in and come join us. 'Cause like I never thought, I thought I had to figure it out. And you guys tell me, Nick, through the more about alcoholism, I learn about the allergy, I learn about what happens when it's in my body. Those first couple of chapters for me, it's painting a picture. I had to believe I was a real alcoholic and I needed a spiritual experience. I had to believe that. And those first three chapters, we're building something here. I had to be convinced I was a real alcoholic and I could not manage my own life with or without alcohol. Probably no human power could relieve me of my alcoholism, and God could and would if he ever saw it. I was willing to believe in something, and that was the start I needed. And that was what you guys promised me. If I'm willing to believe, and that's a start. That's what we're gonna be talking about tonight. Thank you.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks.
I'm Lindsay. I'm an alcoholic.
Lindsay.
I would also like to thank Simple Actions for having me here. It's an honor. My sobriety date is May 26, 2019. My home group is also Cornerstone. And if you go to the end of the street, it's right across the street on the corner. It's a little house. Saturday nights at 7 o'clock. It's a great meeting. And yeah, like Nick said, you should come check us out. I have a sponsor, and she has a sponsor. Her sponsor's sponsor has a sponsor, and I'm saying that because I wouldn't be sober and sitting here without that lineage of people before me to walk me through this process. Because I don't know anything about alcoholism. I thought I did. I don't know anything about how to get and stay sober. And that's with experience in AA. So I really like that they call it our personal adventures. I hear personal adventures and I'm like, yeah, I was just having a great time, They were adventures though. At first, when I first drank alcohol, I was pondering this yesterday, it fixed something that I didn't know was broken. And I loved it and I wanted more. And so I just kept going. It was my solution. It was fun. No one told me, they had the DARE programs and all this stuff at school, like, don't do drugs, don't drink, all this good stuff. It's bad. But like, when it was in me, I was just like, that's not what's happening. It's not bad. I'm having a great time. But eventually, it got out of hand really fast, and I suffered a lot of consequences. So this part A here, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives, I felt like I had two different, like those were two separate experiences for me. When I was drinking alcohol, eventually it became pretty obvious I couldn't manage my life while drinking. But it turns out once the alcohol's down, I still can't manage my life. I can burn my life to the ground just as easily, dry without any mood or mind altering substances, as I can when I'm under the influence. And also, I didn't know what it meant to be an alcoholic. I came The first time I went to AA, I think I was 18, maybe 19, and I introduced myself as an addict and an alcoholic, and there was some old guy that didn't really like that. So I never went back. Well, I didn't go back for a long time. But I had gone to rehab. I think it was 2014 maybe, and that rehab had AA speakers come in, and they had nights where they read out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I heard some stuff that really hit me hard, and I left that rehab really scared. So I did what they said when I left, and I went to a meeting. I got home group. I got a sponsor. I got a commitment. You know, all the things. And I was sober for 5 years. But you know, and some things changed. My life did look a little bit better, but I was still dying inside, and I just didn't understand it. I just realized recently, and this is kind of it's gonna sound wild, but the steps on the wall, you see 1 through 12, right? Like I just realized that that's not the program. Like those are just that's just like the short form of the program. I didn't know, and I read the book too. I read the book, some good stuff in it, but I didn't know that they were clear-cut instructions on how to do those 12 steps on the wall, and that I shouldn't be doing it by myself, you know? So I had a sponsor, but no one was taking me through the book. So I didn't know what it meant to be an alcoholic. It wasn't until within the last 2 years that, you know, I had another woman who understood her condition, what it meant to be an alcoholic, and that it's so much more about it's so much more than just about taking a drink. I never knew that. You know, I feel like I have this gaping hole in my soul. I've tried to describe it better, but I just can't. I just need to fill it with something. I'm restless, irritable, discontent. I'm always looking for something outside of myself to fix me or just to feel better. And my mind, you know, I have these crazy thoughts. Give me all these bright ideas. It's insanity, really. But so this woman walks me through this book, and I'm starting to have a new experience and understand a lot of different things. So, you know, no human power could have relieved my alcoholism. I tried, you know, my parents couldn't get me sober. My sister couldn't get me sober. My son, the love, you know, all that love there, it couldn't get me sober. Been to therapists, you know, spiritual retreats, whatever, all the things, like none of it worked. You know, through this process and I really started to see how I tried all those other things, you know. So, and like, you know, drinking and sober, right? I can't manage my own life. I'm trying to run the show all the time. I don't even know I'm doing it, and I'm hurting people in the process. So, you know, it kind of comes to this rubber meeting the road kind of point. Like, am I willing to believe that there's something greater than me, that I can turn over, you know, give the wheel to essentially of my life. So God could and would if he were sought. I've heard Amy say that God can and will if he were sought. And I really like that because I'm a procrastinator. So if I hear could and would, I'm like, that means later. Like that means tomorrow, you know. So I like the little twist that, you know, that I hear from you people that, you know, have lots of experience. Really couldn't do any of this without you guys. So that's all I got on this first part.
All right, moving on, still on page 60. Being convinced we were at step three, which is that we decided to turn our will and our life over to God as we understood Him. Just what do we mean by that? And just what do we do? The first requirement is that we be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. On that basis, we are almost always in collision with something or somebody, even though our motives are good. Most people try to live by self-propulsion. Each person is like an actor who wants to run the whole show, is forever trying to arrange the lights, the ballet, the scenery, and the rest of the players in his own way. If his arrangement would only stay put, if only the people would do as he wished, the show would be great. Everybody, including himself, would be pleased. Life would be wonderful. In trying to make these arrangements, our actor may sometimes be quite virtuous. He may be kind, considerate, patient, generous, even modest and self-sacrificing. On the other hand, he may be mean, egotistical, selfish, and dishonest. But as with most humans, he is more likely to have varied traits. Nick?
Thank you.
All right.
Yes. Being convinced, we were at step three. That's being convinced again. I'm a real alcoholic. On my own power, I'm gonna drink again. And be willing to believe in something greater than myself. So I remember getting to this point in the book with my sponsor, and